6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcius over to the right. Big shot! Score! Shea Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2:03 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feed to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shea Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! That's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a game day. Lots to get to tonight as Arizona comes to town to face your Vegas Golden Knights. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, along with Chris Chapman behind the board. We have a ton to get to today, but before we move on to the hockey, we do have some news to pass along. A sad day for a lot of folks in broadcasting here in Southern Nevada.
Yeah, just sports fans in general in Southern Nevada here. We're talking about all the things coming on with the Vegas Golden Knights coming here and the Raiders coming here and UNLV baseball doing well and how much the city's grown in that. But sometimes we have to remember the people that put this city on the map sports-wise. And one of those people was David Hum. Our condolences go out to David Hum's family. David Hum graduated from Bishop Gorman High School, one of the top quarterbacks in the country, also one of the best pitchers. He could have gone to Major League Baseball, a lot of people thought. He was recruited by every university in the country, ended up going to Nebraska, where he played for several seasons. He was also the runner-up in voting for the Heisman Trophy, drafted by the Oakland Raiders. He played for John Madden, was in the Super Bowl in 77 and 84. Raiders won both of those games. He had a 10-year NFL career. He was also instrumental in advertising business here in Las Vegas and helping grow a lot of sports, including UNLV, and was the first member of the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame as well. So David Hum, a name that I certainly became very familiar with when I first got into broadcasting out here well over 20 years ago, and a gentleman that I had the pleasure of meeting a few times and was always gracious and one of the really good guys, and he meant a lot to Southern Nevada sports. So he has passed away after years of fighting a disease which he never complained about, never cried about or anything, never said why me. So David Hum will be sorely missed by the sports community here in Southern Nevada. So condolences once again to him and his family.
Right, you certainly think about him being the first person going into the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame and what that event and that organization, Frank, has meant to Southern Nevada over the last years.
Yeah, absolutely. And Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame, I remember when it started out as kind of an idea, then they started putting people in and then teams in and that, and now every year people are just clamoring to see who's going to go in and have their opinions of who should be in and who shouldn't be in. So it's become a very popular thing around here. But again, kind of like the Vegas Golden Knights this year, everything they've done, they were the first Major League professional team, the first this, the first that. Well, the first Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame class, David Hum, was right there. So congratulations to him on that 10-year NFL career. Who would have thought that just as we're about to get the Oakland Raiders, and unfortunately one of the Raider greats would pass away.
And we look forward to the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame and the day that they will induct their first Vegas Golden Knight, and we know that that will happen at some point. Who it will be and under what circumstances, we do not know. But the Golden Knights have certainly taken this community by storm, and they are back in action tonight, game number 77, as Arizona comes to town. Arizona 26-39-11, 63 points on the ledger against your Vegas Golden Knights, a 48-21-7, 103 points. And as we do every game day, it is time for our Vegas Golden Knights game day preview, brought to you by Raikman Plumbing and Air Conditioning, where a flush beats a full house every time. As I said, Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace. And guys, as we get ready for tonight's game, a couple of questions were answered by Gerard Gallant in the press conference today. One, who would be in net, and that is Marc-Andre Fleury. They are trying to close this thing out, although in the playoffs, still trying to win the division. We expect that Derek England will be back in the lineup tonight, and we got a little glimpse that perhaps Oscar Lindbergh is going to rejoin the boys today as they skate against Arizona.
Yeah, I like starting Fleury here because I think you definitely need to play Subban for one of these back-to-back games. I don't think you want to play Subban against San Jose. I think you want that to be Fleury. So I like Fleury here, Subban on Friday, and then Marc-Andre Fleury to go on Saturday for perhaps the biggest game left this year, and that could solidify the Pacific Division for the Golden Knights.
By the way, should Vegas win tonight, they will improve to 19-3-3 against teams in the Pacific Division. They will also swept the season series against the Arizona Coyotes, finishing with a record of 5-0-0 if they win this tonight. So, you know, so much for the NHL at the start of the season. Remember, we speculated that they maybe were trying to make Vegas and Arizona the rivalry, and everybody kind of assumed that Vegas fans wanted it to be L.A. because nobody likes L.A. And but Arizona, well, Vegas has lived up to their part of the deal. I'm not sure that the Coyotes have up to this point, although they have been playing better of late.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, is Arizona just beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. Don't do what Tampa did. Don't walk into this game assuming you're going to win, take your opponent lightly, get away from your game, and end up getting embarrassed. If you're the Golden Knights, it doesn't matter that it's the Arizona Coyotes. These are tune-up games for the playoffs. You got to continue to do what you do well.
And when you think about them having a 26-win season, Ryan, I remember you and I being at the D earlier in the year on a Friday talking about teams getting off to some of the worst starts in the history of the NHL, and we were mm-hmm. comparing this Arizona team to some of the worst teams ever. They've really rebounded in the second half of the season to get to that 26 marker.
Yeah, and it's funny because Arizona hasn't been as awful as their record would indicate over the entirety of the year. They had a really, really poor showing in the first 20 games of the season. So if you throw that out, they've been a pretty decent hockey club since then, but you don't get to throw those games out, and that's why they're in the position that they are. But you've got guys that are battling. Clayton Keller is a very impressive rookie. He's trying to lay the groundwork for what's to come next season. They're trying to play for their futures. Max Domi's doing the exact same thing. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, he's got a lot of pride in this team. Probably should have been the captain this year. It's a little confusing they didn't go that route with him. But you notice when guys are taking this thing personally, and these guys in that locker room, they want to win every game from here on out. They want to spoil somebody's good time. Golden Knights are going to the playoffs. They want to make sure they don't win the Pacific Division.
Oh, and not only do they want to make sure that they don't win the Pacific Division, they do not want to go 0-5 against an expansion team mm-hmm. this year as well. I mean, they have a little bit of pride down there, too. They saw this team coming in as expansion team as well, and I know now everybody's around the league is crying about, well, the expansion rules were too easy and they had advantages here, there, and everywhere else. Well, Arizona's had some pretty high draft picks for several years because they haven't been very good. It hasn't exactly panned out for them, but the last thing they want to do is get swept by the Vegas Golden Knights in Vegas' first year.
And it's a team that's undergone a number of roster changes, and we go back to the summer, Ryan, and think about Mike Smith and him moving up to Calgary, and then there's been a number of guys just sort of shuttle through that goaltender position.
Yeah, really, it's been kind of a weird one. Louis Domingue was sent down on waivers, losing Mike Smith, I think, was something that Arizona didn't expect to be this monumental thing. Like, Mike Smith's been good, but I don't think that they expected it to just completely throw their goaltending position in flux. But the one silver lining of that is they now have Darcy Kemper, and Darcy Kemper played very, very well early in the season for the Los Angeles Kings. At times, he had better numbers, and it was a really good tandem with Jonathan Quick. So Darcy Kemper getting the number one starting job in Arizona, kind of solidifying that. They expected Antti Raanta to be better. He wasn't. But I think moving forward, if those two guys can stay healthy and they can improve, goaltending shouldn't be a problem for Arizona next year.
And again, but it is still a question mark because that is the risk you take when you take a guy who is basically a career backup goalie. They thought Raanta was the answer. Mm-hmm. He wasn't. Carolina thought Scott Darling was the answer. He hasn't been for them necessarily. Kemper, I thought he looked good with L.A. I thought he looked pretty good in Minnesota when he had limited opportunities before he went to L.A. But there's something with the psyche and everything else when you go from being the guy who backs up the man to being the man. Some guys have it and some guys don't. So although I agree with you, I think Kemper's looked very good this year. Mm-hmm. I thought Raanta looked very good in New York when Lundqvist was injured. But knowing that he was the guy this year, he's also had some injury problems.
Sure, but I think that if you are moving forward with those two guys and you can maybe get a 60-40 split so that, you know, you're not running one guy into the ground, you're not doing something that they're not necessarily used to, I think that's going to benefit both guys. It's going to benefit Kemper. It's going to benefit Ranta. And it's never a bad thing to have a healthy competition throughout the remainder of the year. So I think next year they'll probably be better. But it's not just backup goalies. It's not just career backups that can't make the adjustment. We all thought Ben Bishop was the answer in Dallas, and he hasn't been. Now, granted, he's been hurt, and Kari Lehtinen's really been the one that's let them down late in this season. But the fact that they have to go to Kari Lehtinen because Ben Bishop can't stay healthy, that's the problem with Ben Bishop. And that's why the Dallas Stars are not making the playoffs this year.
And I believe we talked about it at the start of the season because I was very high on Dallas. And I said if Ben Bishop can stay healthy, they could be one of the big improved teams mm-hmm. of the season. And we all three talked about it. I think Chris also chimed in on it. That was the big question mark. Ben Bishop is an excellent goalie, but he gets hurt all the time. And that's one reason why the Tampa Bay Lightning weren't like freaking out or like shedding any tears over him leaving and going someplace else. Because they know he gets hurt all the time. They went, we're going to go with the younger guy, Vasilevskiy, who is as good, if not better than him, and he stays healthy, or at least healthier. Ben Bishop gets hurt every single season, and that's the risk you have with running somebody like that. Ask Chicago Blackhawk fans about Corey Crawford. He also gets hurt all the time. They're good goalies when they're healthy, but you're not a good goalie when you can't play.
Yeah, in the case of Vasilevskiy, it'll be interesting because he's played a ton of minutes, and I think he's getting tired, and while letting Ben Bishop go in order to give the net to Vasilevskiy was the right move in Tampa, you need something better than Louis Domingue to get in there and give him some relief starts, because if he doesn't have that and he's exhausted going into the playoffs, I don't like Tampa Bay's chances to really go deep. So goaltending is a very interesting position. And kind of to get back to what we were talking about with Arizona, I think when you look forward to what they have, just young talent-wise, their defense has to improve. Their forwards need to get better defensively, and their goaltending needs to be better. And I think when you've got two guys that are used to being backups, if they both play well enough, you can get number one goaltending out of both guys and not spread them too thin. I think that's the plan for next year. Louis Domingue was never going to provide that for Antti Raanta this year.
We certainly need to look no further than the Vegas Golden Knights to understand the importance of starting goaltending, the importance of depth at that position, and what has gone on with VGK this season. But Marc-Andre Fleury has been as good as advertised, and he sat down with the media yesterday after practice and talked about how to turn the switch and what the difference is between clinching the playoffs and being in the playoffs and what is still left to play for.
Back to business now after getting that X next to team name?
Yeah, you know, that was nice, right? But we haven't won anything yet. You know, it's all keep a focus and get our team ready for what's coming up.
And I would imagine the division is the next goal on the checklist as we make our way to the end of the season.
No, that'd be nice, but I think the most important thing is to like I said, you know, get our team ready, getting good habits, you know, playing down the road here, and so when playoff starts, and you know, we're ready to go right from the first game, from the first minute.
You and James Neal met in the finals last year. I mean, you guys ever talk about when you guys played last year, and you have any of the younger players coming up to you guys and kind of looking for, you know, information or some stories about the playoffs?
I don't know, I wasn't playing, you know, so I guess I didn't have to face him on the ice, right? But it's good. I'm sure I have better memories than he did about it, you know, but, you know, you always respect a guy a lot, you know, for going through all those games and making it to the final and playing as hard as he did. And, you know, hopefully, I don't know, we haven't talked really about playoff yet with the guys and stuff, but, you know, I don't know, we don't have to talk about it. I think maybe if they ask, right, we'll share our experience and I'll try to help them out, you know, through the first few games of the playoffs here.
And you have some players with playoff experience on this roster. How much of a big help is that, knowing that a lot of these players on the roster have been in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Yeah, it's always good, you know, like you said, just to be able to share your experience, right, share what happened, all things were, and all you had your success, you know, and yeah, so it's slow things, you know, when guys have been through it, you know, you can tell everybody sometimes to relax, you know, and you don't want to get too high, too low, right? It's because you got to stay even keeled throughout the playoff.
How would you best describe the difference between playoff hockey and regular season hockey?
A little more fun, I think. Everything's more exciting. The intensity is there every night, you know, every little play matters, and Yeah, I think the atmosphere in the building is always, we're lucky here, right? It's always very loud, but wherever we play, it gets really loud, and the atmosphere is always awesome.
That was Marc-Andre Fleury. He will be in net tonight. We expect to see him over the weekend as well. And if you want to see Marc-Andre Fleury, we will have some tickets to that St. Louis game coming up later in the week. So stick with us. We're going to give those away today. But Marc-Andre Fleury in good spirits after practice, going to be in net tonight, saying that playoff hockey is fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it is fun when you've won three Stanley Cups. I mean, why would it not be fun? The other thing that I do think is interesting, too, because we've talked about playoff hockey and the intensity and everything, and we've all watched it our whole lives, and I look forward to the playoffs. But I thought it was interesting, and Ryan, I know we were talking about this a little bit earlier, what Gerard Gallant said about it, that the first round is really intense and that, and then it kind of levels back out to normal because guys realize they can't go at that breakneck speed and kill each other every single game, every single night, because you could potentially play 28 games in the playoffs. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever played at all 28, but I remember the one year that the Kings won it, they had three straight seven-game series and then had the five games, so They played 26 games, so that's a lot of hockey to put your butt on the line every single night doing car crash after car crash out there.
Yeah, and it's compressed, you know. It's a compressed schedule. It's 28, potentially 28 games over 2 months, and you're starting a new series every 2 weeks. And it's a grind, and it's one of those things that, as players, I think you sit there and you say to yourself, yes, it's difficult, yes, it's hard, yes, you have to sell out a little bit more, but you're playing for the Stanley Cup. I mean, granted, you're playing in the National Hockey League in the regular season. That's great. That's a dream come true. But if you're one of the 16 teams, you have as good a shot as anybody else to win the Stanley Cup. And that's the only reason you play hockey. Like, the only reason that these guys play hockey, maybe you could argue the money, but when you get down to it, it's to play for the Stanley Cup. What could be more fun than that?
And when you talk about the physicality of that, don't forget there's some of these teams coming in off of 2-3 weeks of that intensity just to get in. We saw that last night with the two teams coming up this weekend. St. Louis and San Jose got together. That was a hard-hitting game, a fast-paced game. St. Louis giving a little bit of help to the Golden Knights, getting the win in overtime, only 1 point to San Jose. But a game like that will take a lot out of you last night.
Yeah, and Anaheim tends to play those kind of games a lot more during the regular season, and we've discussed that before, too. That's one of the reasons why sometimes they might beat up the other team, but they also beat up themselves over the course of a season. The other thing that obviously is different about the playoffs, we just talked about it with Vegas playing Colorado in back-to-back games, and they played L.A. recently in literally back-to-back nights of the same team. But that's a rarity in this day and age. In a playoff series, not only is it more physical and every game means so much more and every shift means so much more, but you're playing the same team. So you're constantly having to make adjustments because, okay, you won this night, but then they're going to change lines or do something else to shake it up. So that familiarity, there's no more secrets. By the end of a seven-game series, each team knows everything about the other team, and then it's just go out there and do whatever it takes to try to win the thing.
Right, and then if you're lucky enough to win, you have to do that three more times. Like, that's the beauty of playoff hockey. It's great. And, you know, the game against the St. Louis-San Jose game, that was fun and everything, but my goodness, the work done on that overtime goal by Vladimir Sobotka was phenomenal. I mean, just to strip the puck, to make the blind no-look pass over to Vladimir Tarasenko was a great play.
It certainly was, and that was a fun game last night. A couple of good fun games last night. We saw Minnesota and Nashville get after each other, Winnipeg and Boston as well. So a number of teams starting to round into form.
Yeah, and you know, maybe one of the reasons that Marc-Andre Fleury says playoff hockey is fun is because they don't have that dreaded 3-on-3 in the shootout, which you hate so much.
I do.
They could go 5 or 6 yes. overtimes. You keep on playing. So you probably think playoff hockey is more fun.
But I do know that now 3-on-3 is getting closer to what Clayton does like, because it's been slower and more methodical and very structured and boring. So I know that you like...
Well, in isolated incidents.
The Minnesota-Nashville one was boring. Mm. Neither team wanted to advance the puck. They wanted to play percentages.
Yeah, you don't want to turn it over.
You want to score goals.
That's right.
Last I checked, if you score more goals than the other team, you win the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, there might be goalie interference.
And you get to do that. You get to do that at 5
Actually, no,
on 5.
No, and you know what was great about that overtime? There was a goal called back. on an offside review. Mm-hmm. So, like, what more could you not love about that overtime period?
The old skate in the air.
It was boring, and a goal was called back because a skate was in the air. Yeah, it was great. It was great.
It was fantastic. Give me some 5-on-5 and give me a tie. That's what I want. Give me 5-on-5 and a tie. Well, you will not get that tonight as the Arizona Coyotes come to town. There will be a decision in this one, whether it takes 60 minutes or longer. We will have the pregame show for you at 6:30, puck drop at 7 o'clock. When we come back, we're going to take a quick look around the league and then discuss the Hart Trophy. That has been all the buzz around the NHL this season right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a game day. Arizona and the Golden Knights getting ready to go tonight. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock for the puck drop. We are going to have some tickets for Friday night's game against St. Louis a little bit later, so stick around. A couple of other teams, guys, have a chance to get to the Stanley Cup playoffs. They can do it tonight. The Maple Leafs will clinch a berth if they beat the Florida Panthers in any fashion. And the Flyers lose to the Colorado Avalanche in regulation. The Capitals can also clinch a berth if they beat the Rangers tonight, and the Flyers lose to the Avalanche in any fashion. When you look at the Maple Leafs and the Capitals, any thoughts on their ability to make some noise in the playoffs should they get in?
The only thing that I want to see happen is the Maple Leafs to finish with more points than the Capitals, and I want the Capitals to win their division. That's the only thing I want to happen. I want the Maple Leafs to be the third best team in the conference and not have home ice advantage for the first two rounds, while the Washington Capitals are the fourth best team in the conference and do have home ice advantage for the first two rounds.
Now, there's been a lot of talk like that around the NHL about people that are a little confused or a little frustrated with the playoff system since it's going to the new style that it has several years ago. Do you like that? Go through your division, or would you like to go back to the old top eight and go from there?
I don't like it for obviously the reasons that I just mentioned with Toronto and Washington, but if that's the case, why isn't it the top four teams in each division make the playoffs, and then you actually have to go through your division? Like, if the Minnesota Wild or the Winnipeg Jets or the St. Louis Blues have to play across division, what's the point? Like for instance, if St. Louis makes the playoffs or Colorado makes the playoffs in a wild card spot, and then Anaheim or Los Angeles makes the playoffs in a wild card spot, but because of where their wild card seating is, Los Angeles has to go and play in the Central, and then the other team Colorado has to come play in the Pacific. What's the point? What's the point of divisional matchups? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I think they probably did that because they didn't want to just cut off four from each division and then have that issue of where the fifth best team in the Central was better than the fourth best team in the Pacific. And I think probably every year, and it happens in baseball, it happens in football, it happens in basketball, that there are certain years where the playoff system doesn't match up to the actual numbers, and there are these question marks when it comes to the decisions that the NHL has decided to make. Where are you staying on it, Frank?
You know, I mean, it is what it is right now. However they do it, to be honest, I really don't care that much. I mean, I'll go way back when it used to be 1 through 16 and they reseeded. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I had no problem with that because it gave an advantage to the teams that actually finished on the very top. And if you finished on the very bottom and you happen to pull a first-round big upset, well, then you didn't automatically get a weaker seed because you were playing somebody else. Like you do in the NCAA tournament or something like that, then you still had to play the next best team available or whatever. So they're never going to do that again. They do want to make the division rivalry, so I understand that point of it here. But I think hockey sells itself. I wouldn't mind whatsoever if they went to 1-8 and just did it like that. But then they'd also have to even out schedules and everything else. This is an experiment they do. The one thing that I do like about the NHL is they're not afraid to change it around a little bit if there is a lot of backdraft or something like that in it. Will they do that? I don't know. Are there more rivalries and better ones because of it? In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. I mean, there's, Colorado and Detroit still consider themselves a big rivalry from Stanley Cups that they played years ago.
All right, I certainly see what they're trying to do with it, with creating more divisional matchups, because you don't have as many division games as you used to under the old system. I mean, you're playing everybody in your division sometimes four times and the other teams in the conference three. So it's not as loaded as it used to be. So an artificial way, perhaps, that they're trying to do it. So we will see if they continue with this playoff system. Zdeno Chara for the Boston Bruins has signed a one-year, $5 million contract. He is 41 years old, could have become an unrestricted free agent on July 1st. He can also earn an additional $1.75 million in performance-based incentives. Do you like signing a guy that old to that much money?
Ordinarily, no. But it's really not an investment in Zdeno Chara as much as it's an investment in Charlie McAvoy. Charlie McAvoy has been the best thing that's ever happened to Zdeno Chara at this point in his career. And I think Zdeno Chara has been kind of the best thing that's ever happened to Charlie McAvoy. So as long as you can keep McAvoy under the guise, under the tutelage of a professional, of a veteran like Chara, you do it. $5 million, a lot of money, but I think Boston will be fine.
Well, and the interesting thing, too, is it does say $5 million, but like you mentioned, he can make an additional $1.75 million. He almost gets most of that just if he shows up, because the first $1.25 million of the bonus is if he plays 10 games. Well, you're hoping he's going to play 10 games if you just paid him $5 million. The next $250,000 is if the team makes the playoffs. Well, Boston is expecting to make the playoffs every year. So really, it's just $250,000 that is a sticking point for him, because that's to win the Stanley Cup. That's a legitimate bonus. The other ones are kind of just, we don't want to write it in the contract and have it count against our salary cap, so we're going to throw this in. It's really $6.5 million they're paying him.
It's your performance bonus.
It's 10 games.
That's dependent on the entire team.
It's 10 games.
That's good. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, that's good. Creative accounting. You got to have those people.
It's like the socialist performance bonus. It's like good. Everybody else helped me get to my performance bonus. Great.
Putin wins.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I like to be the guy that helps you get all those wins and gets nothing. It's nothing for it. A lot of those guys.
Basically, if Brad Marchand doesn't get suspended for the season, he's probably going to get $1.5 million.
You know, they need to start writing that into Marchand's contracts. If you don't get suspended, we'll give you an extra $5 million.
Absolutely.
Guaranteed he still gets suspended.
Yeah. Probably. You know what? Chad Ochocinco, the Cincinnati Bengals, he used to block out a certain amount of his salary for fines that he knew that he was going to get per year. And he would just set it aside, have his accountant pull it, because he knew that he was going to need it for his suspensions and his fines.
Do you think when Boston plays down in Florida, instead of throwing rats on the ice, they should throw a little Brad Marchand bobbleheads?
Yeah, that'd be good. Good bear. Yeah, I like that.
I approve. I like it.
An injury in Los Angeles. Jake Muzzin, the defenseman, has an upper body injury. He has been labeled as week to week. He's got 42 points this season, 123 block shots. Big blow, not so much. Thoughts on Jake Muzzin?
Certainly doesn't help, that's for sure. It creates a little bit of turmoil now for Los Angeles and their top four defensive pairs. But listen, we're going to get to some MVP talk in a little bit, and I'm going to reserve my thoughts on Jake Muzzin and just going to say that it's not that big of a deal, assuming Anje Kopitar continues to be Anje Kopitar.
And I think time will tell how big a deal it is or not, because he is a big piece of that puzzle. He might not be the biggest piece, but when you're literally fighting with every team within a point of each other to try to make those wild cards, yeah, four of the five are going, but one isn't. If they don't make it, if they lose one game because Muzzin isn't in there, that could be the game that cost them.
For New York, this one could probably be classified on the doesn't matter so much list. Kevin Shattenkirk was shut down for the remainder of the season. He wanted to return after undergoing a surgery in January to repair a torn meniscus, but GM Jeff Gorton said that he will end his season. He's not fully healed, and rushing him back to play in meaningless games didn't make sense.
That's my goodness. This is the first time I think we've talked about Kevin Shattenkirk all year. How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, he was supposed to make the difference in Washington. That did not happen. Make the difference in New York. That did not happen as well. Colorado is facing some problems. Goalie Semyon Varlamov is ill, and Jonathan Bernier remains unavailable with a hand injury. They may be forced to start rookie Spencer Martin or a minor league call-up Andrew Hammond, who will be in attendance tonight. Hammond was recently cleared from a concussion, but he was not at the morning skate at the Pepsi Center tonight, leading everyone to believe that Spencer Martin will be in goal.
Andrew Hammond did some amazing things in Ottawa. He was actually the Hamburglar goalie because he was just stealing games for the Ottawa Senators a couple of years back. So I'm not too worried about it. I think, listen, if Colorado's going to win and get into the playoffs, they're going to have to be able to be without Varlamov for maybe one or two more games. I think they can handle it. I think Nathan MacKinnon and company will be up to the task.
Yeah, and it depends. I mean, that's, you know, when you have both your goalies out, that can be a tough thing to overcome. But, yeah, they actually used to throw hamburgers on the ice when he was in his heyday. I mean, that one season they had the – I don't know if they had a bobblehead, but they had, like, the Hamburglar dolls that they were passing out to games and everything. I believe that one of the McDonald's in Ottawa also gave him a lifetime supply where he can eat at McDonald's anytime he wants to for the rest of his life because of all the publicity he got to that city as the Hamburglar.
Right, exactly, because when you're a high-profile athlete, McDonald's is what you need to be using to fuel your body.
That's why they got a big paycheck. The Olympics.
Yep.
Jared Bednar, their head coach, said he will return to a traditional 12-forward, 6-defenseman lineup. Nail Yakupov will be in the lineup tonight. They will scratch Anton Lindholm. Yakupov has been a healthy scratch for the last 8 games and 9 of the last 10.
Not surprising at all, but funny story about Yakupov. When I went down to the Avalanche dressing room after the game the other night, I saw Nail Yakupov in street clothes, and that was about the same time I realized that Nail Yakupov still plays in the NHL. So I took a picture of him, and it was, I'll post it on Twitter. It's one of those, like, Nail Yakupov crazy eyes caught me taking a picture of him. It was pretty funny.
Nice. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. We're going to have some tickets in a little bit for that game against St. Louis on Friday. But some more news. Steven Stamkos is looking like he is close to returning. He could be in the lineup against Boston on Thursday after missing one game with a lower body injury.
Yeah, no, a lot of people thought that Stamkos was just being held out because they're in the position they are right now and they could kind of rest him. But I would be surprised if he doesn't play against Boston because they want to make a statement that they can beat this team, because I believe Boston's beat them both times they've played this season. This is a matchup that they could meet in the playoffs. You don't want that mental edge going to the other team. Yeah, everybody's talked about Tampa Bay all season long, but if you can't beat Boston, you can't win a Stanley Cup.
That is correct, and so we will see if Steven Stamkos comes back. A question marks in Washington. Is there a full-out controversy when it comes to their goaltenders? Braden Holtby and Phil Grubauer have been sharing time. Head coach Barry Trotz saying he wants to get both of them some action before the playoffs begin, but Philip Grubauer suffered a little tweak against the Rangers on Monday night. He's going to be held out. The team recalled Phoenix Copley from the AHL. He will be on the bench. It looks like Braden Holtby is going to go back into the lineup. Who's the number one goaltender in Washington?
It's going to have to be Braden Holtby if they want to do anything in the playoffs.
And so I think right now they're thinking the exact opposite way. I mean, he hasn't won in the playoffs for him before. He has until they've faced up against Pittsburgh. Grubauer's played better than him this year. Trotz has come right out and said that our goaltending situation is a nightmare right now. And with the Grubauer injury, he said it's the worst that it's been because of Grubauer being hurt. Grubauer's been the hotter one right now. If they get playoff positioning, it's because of what he has been doing right now. I think they actually right now, I think Trotz is actually leaning towards Grubauer being the man if he's ready to go.
Right, no, I get it. I'm just saying I don't see Philip Grubauer being the guy that's going to win you playoff series in the same way that Braden Holtby has proven he could do in the past.
Perspective, also a defensive perspective. He drives our team. The percentage of point production in comparison to teammates and league-wide, I think, is exceptional. 5-on-5 points, plays in every situation, has played 27, 28, 29 minutes a night. Some of the other potential candidates may not be in the playoffs either, and I don't think that you punish individuals for that. But, again, I don't have a vote, and I am attached to the Oilers.
That was head coach Todd McClellan speaking on behalf of Connor McDavid and his candidacy for the Hart Trophy. And last night was a perfect example of what he's talking about. Connor McDavid had a goal at 2 assists, reached the 40-goal mark for the first time in his NHL career, had his second straight 100-point campaign. He opened up a 6-point lead in the Art Ross Trophy race over Nikita Kucherov, but his team lost 7-3. So where do you guys stand on Hart Trophy MVP being on a team that might not make the playoffs? And when you consider that two of his chief rivals, Taylor Hall and Nathan MacKinnon, might be in the same boat of also missing the playoffs.
Yeah, so it's funny because Nathan MacKinnon and Taylor Hall are in a playoff race right now, and they could very easily both make the playoffs, and then that's end of the argument. But they could very well miss the playoffs, and then you start to look at, well, where would their teams be without them? If the Avalanche didn't have Nathan MacKinnon, they would be probably as bad as the Edmonton Oilers with Connor McDavid. And then if Taylor Hall wasn't on the New Jersey Devils, well, then they would probably be as bad as the Edmonton Oilers with Connor McDavid. And another guy, you look at Anze Kopitar, who leads all NHL forwards in ice time. He's factored into about 40% of the Kings' goals total this year. 11th most minutes on the penalty kill. The Kings have the best penalty kill in the league. So all situations, you would say, 88.6 in league scoring. You take Anze Kopitar off the Kings, and they're not actively trying to get into the playoffs or right there. They're about as bad as the Edmonton Oilers with Connor McDavid. So my question to you is, what is value? Because if you take those three guys off their team, they become as bad as the Edmonton Oilers with the most valuable player in the world, Connor McDavid, on their team.
See, I liked what he said at the start of it when he said he's in the conversation or he's in the running. But then when he went on to say that he basically was it, but I do have the ties in that. I mean, yes, they are in similar boats, but it's not really the same boat because Edmonton's not even in the race. The other teams are in the race. You take MacKinnon off Colorado, they're not in this race. I'll throw another player in there that we haven't talked about that's also on another team that's in the playoff race, and that's Eric Staal of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Staal has been absolutely incredible this year. 40 goals this season. In fact, he becomes only the second player in NHL history to have two 40-goal seasons that had at least an 8-year span between the two of them. The other one was Gordie Howe, who had an 11-year span. Staal went through a point where he was basically questioning himself if he even belonged in the league anymore. A couple years ago, he had a season where he had 39 points. This year, he gets 40 goals. He has been everything to the Minnesota Wild and what they have done there. I don't often agree with Bruce Boudreau, or at least I don't always. But when he said that if Staal is on a different team, he probably gets a little bit more love or something, I agree with him. Staal's been incredible this year. I do think you have to at least be in the conversation of a race because it's not the best player or the most outstanding player. It is the most valuable player. And again, you take Connor McDavid off. Okay, well, maybe they're not third to last in their division. Maybe they're last, but they're still a really bad team this season. You take those other guys off their teams, and their teams are out of the races.
And you certainly have those riders that tend to fall back on recognizable names of successful teams. So you have sure. those guys that say, oh, well, I'm going to vote for Nikita Kucherov, or I'm going to vote for Malkin. Whether or not they should, that is there's a segment of the voting riders that will go that way.
Yeah, and I mean, I have less of a problem with that, I think, than I would with Connor McDavid being the guy that wins the Hart, mainly because dream scenario is one of the two guys that are kind of dominating the conversation now, Nathan MacKinnon, Taylor Hall. Let's say Nathan MacKinnon drags Colorado to a 96-97 point season, but because they play in a better conference, they don't make the playoffs. But then you look at Taylor Hall and say they get in with 93 or 94 points. Is Taylor Hall more valuable than Nathan MacKinnon? Because their teams, Nathan MacKinnon is on the team with more points, but they don't get into the playoffs. So the playoffs are arbitrary. I think you need to be involved in meaningful games now in order to be in the conversation.
The other thing that's missing in this conversation right now is, if you're just going by the guy who's the most valuable and you're taking off his team and his team's not there, then you're basically negating somebody like Evgeny Malkin, who's had an incredible season this year for Pittsburgh, and you're saying, well, they'd still be good without him. But does that take away what he's done and what he's earned? So there's so many different ways to look at the argument.
And look forward to continuing this with you guys. We've got another 10 days or so before the votes are going to be in. We will have Jesse Granger of the Las Vegas Sun. He's going to release his ballot live here on the show so you can know who he voted for. But it's time to give away those tickets for a Friday night against St. Louis. So if you want to be a part of that, give us a call at 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. That's a 7:30 start on Friday night against St. Louis. Caller number 35, you are going to the game right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Congratulations to Lou on winning those tickets for St. Louis. We will have more tickets throughout the week. Game number 77 coming up tonight, Arizona and your Golden Knights. 6:30 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the puck drop. Clayton Hamilton along with Frank Harnish and with Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace. And Frank's looking at me like I'm crazy.
No, I just think it's ironic that Lou won for St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's good. I thought maybe I said the time of the game wrong or who we were playing
I just noticed the irony of it when you said it, and I was like, oh, Lou saying, okay,
that's good.
Makes sense.
That's good. Usually the stink eye is for when I say something incorrect,
well, it wasn't really
which happens
the stink
all
eye.
The time.
It was just the quizzical eye.
The quizzical eye would,
like, that's interesting.
Would be somebody that has to sit down and do all of the math to figure out the NHL draft lottery odds. Well, they were announced today. As we know, the 15 clubs that do not qualify for the Stanley Cup playoffs or the clubs that have acquired those first-round picks from the non-playoff clubs via trade will participate in the 2018 NHL draft lottery. The draft coming to us from Dallas this year on the 22nd. And the overall, a number one pick, the team that comes in last has an 18.5% chance to win the number one pick. That is up a half a percentage point from last year. And what are your thoughts, guys, on how they do the lottery? Do you like it? Is there too much talk of tanking the ping pong balls? What are your thoughts?
Well, there's really not any incentive to tanking because you're not guaranteed anything if you finish dead last. So I've heard proponents say once you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, you should earn, like, if whoever finishes with the most points after mathematical elimination should get the first overall pick, because then there's no incentive for tanking, but there is incentive for playing your butts off when you don't have anything else to play for. I like that idea a lot. I've also heard people say, let's just get rid of the draft and try to recruit people, which is pretty awesome too, because it's anarchy and I love it.
The only thing that I will say for tanking is if you are the actual worst team, although your odds might not be that much super better for the first draft pick, you do have a 76.5% chance of getting at least one of the top three picks. So your odds are increased for that, but I think organizations sometimes want to tank. I don't think players tank because they could be tanking themselves right out of a job.
And the only thing that really the team that finishes dead last needs to worry about is whether or not the New Jersey Devils make or miss the playoffs. Because if they miss the playoffs, then just count it right now. Taylor Hall doesn't lose draft lotteries. They will win the draft lottery again.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. There you have it. The draft coming up. It's going to be a busy week that week. The NHL awards, then the draft. The Golden Knights get to go into their second draft, and so that'll be fun for everybody involved. And we will have that all along the way for you, as well as the game tonight, Arizona and your Vegas Golden Knights. 6:30 for the pregame. 7 o'clock puck drop. Stick around. TC Martin, the Doctor, is next.